Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, and today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Charmaine Ferrier. Charmaine Ferrier is the Clarity and Roadmap Coach. She is a life coach, speaker, and mentor dedicated to helping women gain clarity, overcome challenges, and create a roadmap for success after battling depression and anxiety. Having silently struggled with depression for 30 years, while maintaining a high-level career, Charmaine understands the weight of fear, self-doubt, and emotional exhaustion. Through faith, she broke free, and now she's on a mission to help other women do the same. Charmaine's approach blends faith, strategy, and action. As a Christian, she draws from biblical principles, but her coaching is open to all women, regardless of their faith background. She provides practical tools to help women break free from limiting mindsets, set healthy boundaries, and move forward with confidence. Whether it's overcoming imposter syndrome, dealing with past hurts, or finding the courage to start over, she helps women develop a personalized success plan for lasting healing and fulfillment. Currently, Charmaine is also embracing the role of caregiver for her mother with dementia, using her journey to highlight the importance of self-care and emotional well-being. She believes that when women prioritize their mental and emotional health, they can show up stronger in every area of life. Through her courses, coaching, and YouTube channel, Charmaine inspires women to embrace emotional freedom, set clear goals, and confidently pursue the life they deserve. Join Charmaine on her mission to help women thrive after depression by connecting with her at deersfeet.com. And with that, Charmaine, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I've been looking forward to our conversation for quite some time now.
Me too. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Dave. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. And we also jointly, I think, have to thank a great podcast host, Steve Ramona, for hooking us up. Steve is kind of like the matchmaker in the podcasting business.
Virtual, yes.
Yeah. And he likes to hook up individuals, like-minded individuals or individuals whose stories will align with certain podcasts. He introduced us. We had a really great pre-chat, and here we are today.
Here we are.
So whenever you're ready, I will shoot you some questions.
Sure. I'm ready. Go for it.
All right. First of all, Charmaine, tell our audience about the experiences that have shaped your life path and your life passions today.
Okay, so there are many, but the main ones that I can think of are my journey started when I was young. I was very young. And I got teased and bullied a lot. Never understood exactly why, because I always wanted to be friends with everybody. I was one of those people. But I got teased a lot. I got bullied a lot. And I was in a home that my parents split up when I was very young. I was probably in first grade. I didn't really believe or felt that I could go to anybody to talk about things. So that kind of started me on a path that was more of, I was holding a lot of stuff in, and I felt certain ways, and I felt like I couldn't discuss it. I kept a lot of things bottled up inside me, and I kept a lot of the bullying and the teasing inside me and believing those things about myself. And so that set me up for what happened future that affects my mental health. One of the main things that I have to say that kind of set me up on the journey where I am now is that I walked away from God. I don't want people to take that and say, that's my platform at all, because I ended up walking back to him. But I stopped pretending. I stopped thinking everything was, I stopped acting as if everything was okay and that I believed that he loved me, because I did. And so I was going to church and I was going through the motions. And I was tired of that. And I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore. And so I walked away. And I think that is when my life changed, because I think that's when he really said, now I can work with her because she's being honest about who she is. And he's not afraid of that. So when I say he, I mean, God's not afraid of us saying, hey, I don't even believe you. He's like, okay, let's do this. You know, let me see what I can do about this. So those were the main things, that broken home, bullying, and then just walking away from God completely.
Well, I think either one of those events, either the broken home or bullying, particularly, you know, persistent bullying, would be enough to really set off a spiral of depression. When you said you really didn't have anybody that you could really talk to about that, when you keep everything bottled up, that's, you know, from my experience, that does contribute to a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety. And I think during times of, you know, life-altering circumstances or crises, I think our faith does get questioned. I know after my daughter transitioned to the spiritual world over 22 years ago, I questioned God. I was angry at God.
Yeah.
But God never abandoned me. He created opportunities for me to serve, to understand, you know, in the survival of consciousness, to understand that our loved ones are always with us. Yeah. So though I'm not faith-based myself, I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. And I have an eclectic approach to spirituality. But part of that is believing in something greater than myself. And I think something greater than myself was one of the many things that got me to this point today and allowed me to find peace with everything that had happened.
Yeah, I mean, I was angry with God too. And that's why I walked away. I was angry because I just felt like I blamed him for the way I felt, because I kept praying that it would be taken away. And I felt like he wasn't taking it away. I just felt like, you're God. All you have to do is say a word and it's gone. Mm-hmm. I just was not based in faith like I am now. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in going to church. I grew up Christian schools. Everything I did was Christian, but I had never really given my heart to him. And so I didn't understand the journey that I have to take with him and what that entailed. I just felt like, oh, just take this away. You know, this is what you do, right? And it wasn't taken away. So I said, well, I'm tired of pretending. I actually got to the point where I believed that he didn't even love me. Like I was a mistake of his creation. I mean, I really believed that. And that's when I just said, there's no point in this. Let me just go.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of energy also to live in authentically. You know, you try to create a brave face for those around you. You try to show that you're okay. But it's really difficult to maintain that with any intensity for any period of time. It gets tiring. And then it just gets to a point where you have to really just look at yourself and say, this is who I really am.
Yeah.
Now I can move forward. And once you embrace that authenticity, you can be open to making the changes that you need to make to lead a purpose-driven life.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing that, you know, I tell people that spiritual work is not the prettiest work at times, particularly when we have to really look at ourselves for who we really are, both the good and the bad.
Yes, yes. It's a tough mirror to look in, but it needs to be done. I didn't realize that. I mean, by this time, when I walked away, I was in my 20s. So I just didn't realize where I was and where I needed to go. I just knew that I was hurting. Mm-hmm. And the pain wasn't going away. And I was debilitated. I mean, I wasn't going to work. I was calling in sick. I was leaving draperies closed. I wasn't answering my phone. I mean, it was really, really bad. And I just thought, I cannot live like this anymore and pretend that I'm okay. For some reason, I thought walking away from God would do something, at least make me stop pretending or stop believing in something that wasn't going to happen. And I thought maybe if I started there, things would get better.
Mm-hmm. So when you discovered who you truly were and you embraced your authenticity in terms of, I'm a depressed person, this is who I am. What helped you get through that? What helped you address those challenges? What people, what places, what things?
Well, what really happened was, because I never really understood the whole depression thing still. I mean, I would use that word, but didn't really understand it, only because I always felt down, which I know now there were times where I was manic. So depression doesn't always show itself as, oh, you're just sad and you're crying. You know, I was the opposite too. But what happened was actually I walked away from God and I wasn't feeling better. I was doing what I wanted to do. I was no longer going to church. I wasn't keeping the Sabbath. I wasn't doing anything. And I thought that would make me feel better, right? Mm-hmm. I would, you know, feel better. And I wasn't. And so what I did was one day I went home and I took my Bible that I had banished to some corner somewhere. And I yelled at God. I literally looked up into the ceiling, you know, and I said, you have one more chance, because I don't know. At this point, I was really suicidal. I mean, I was thinking of my life ending. I never thought of me ending it, but I wanted it to end. And I would want to go to sleep and not wake up. And actually, there was a I lived in a beautiful area of town that at the time. And I would go driving and there was a beautiful, like, clearing. And I would imagine myself going into that clearing and parking my car and just my life ending. You know, that's how bad it was. And I told the Lord, I said, I can't live like this anymore. You know, I can't live like this anymore. You know, I don't even want to be here anymore. And I told him, you have one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance because I don't know where else to turn. This was all I really knew. So, and I told him I was going to read my Bible. I'm going to start at Genesis is what I told him. This is me talking to him out loud, like literally in my apartment. I'm talking to him and I said, I'm going to start at Genesis. And if I don't find some relief soon, I told him I'm going to leave you and I will never come back. You will never see me again. You know, this is me talking to God. And so I did that. I started at Genesis and I read a chapter a day. And before, I don't know where I got to in the Bible, but before I knew it, I was on my face, literally in my apartment again, on my face, giving my heart to the Lord. I didn't know what it was going to get me, but I started to believe. First of all, I saw myself in the characters in the Bible like I had never seen them before. And I saw how these people, how he led and guided these people, even though they did some of the same things that I was doing, and that he still loved them. And I thought that possibly he still loved me. And so I literally was on my face in my living room floor and saying, I'm back and you're going to have to show me now how to have a relationship with you. So that's how I came. And that's when the journey started of me finding out what was really going on with me, which was faith and also depression, which was an actual condition, and that I was learning that, but I learned it with him. So.
Well, and you stated your intention very loudly to God, to the universe, that you didn't want to live like this anymore. So you were open to having your divine source or God show you a different way and open up that path. And I think at that moment, if that were me that had stated that, I would say that would be a pivotal point for me, because now I'm trusting in something greater than myself.
Yeah. Yes.
Where before I was questioning that, now I'm trusting that you're going to show me the way. And yes. I'm just, whatever path you open up, I'm going to have the faith, and my faith is going to be greater than my fear to walk that path and see what unfolds.
Yeah, I was ready for him to do whatever he needed to do in me. I was ready to listen instead of always telling him my problems. I was ready to hear what he had to say to help me get through what it was that I was getting through, which was feeling very hopeless and unloved, you know. And I had many people who loved me, but for some reason, I could not grasp that. And it was something that I just felt like I couldn't do anything about it. Like you said, and I was tired of trying to, and I was going to trust him to do something with those feelings and with that hopelessness.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too, and I heard somebody say this, which is very profound, that before you can love others, you have to love yourself. One of the questions to ask yourself is, do I love myself?
Yeah, and I didn't. I couldn't even, at that point, it had gotten so bad, I didn't look in the mirror, except for short periods of time during the day when I was getting dressed for work, you know, but I avoided mirrors. I mean, it was really bad. I couldn't stand myself. And I was questioning my own existence. Like, why am I even here if I'm so useless? That's how I felt, useless and hopeless. And I felt like God thought the same way, since I believed God. I believed that he created me. I just didn't understand why, because I didn't believe that he loved me. Mm-hmm. And that was at a time where I believed he loved everybody else but me. And I would see it in other people because I would see things going on. And of course, I changed. The lens I was looking through was very bad. And that's what he needed to change, was my lens. I just had a bad foundation, and he needed to change that foundation. And I gave him the opportunity.
And I think you said changing the lens from the darkness of depression to the light of embracing life again. Yeah, that's the shift, I think, for a lot of individuals who are depressed that needs to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I got out of the darkness. It was real. I kept it dark in my apartment. I love being outside. I love the sun. I just started keeping it dark. I was working night shift a lot. So I had to black up shades a lot of times, and I would keep them up even when I wasn't working. You know, it was just darkness.
Well, the behaviors that you described, you know, keeping the shades down, the curtains closed, just withdrawing from life, those are all classic symptoms of individuals who are depressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing, and I saw this on a meme on Facebook, is that, and I'm going to paraphrase this, is that how we see the world outside of us is a reflection of the world inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we feel darkness, we're going to see darkness in others and around us. And like you said, that lens for you had to change in order for you to see the light of life.
Yes. Yes.
For the audience, tell us how you define faith, and how specifically did your regaining your faith help you address your challenges with depression?
So I define faith as, like the Bible says, is the evidence of things not seen, and trusting in God when everything around you, like your circumstance may not change, but you still trust him that he is working everything out for your good. That's how I define it, that he is not against me, he's for me, and he's working everything out for everybody's good. And the way that helped me, I mean, it just, like I said, the more that I read the Bible, the more that the Bible says, you know, I got closer to him, and because I understood his character more, because I saw these people going through crazy stuff too, you know, but still trusting him and him making ways out of no way. And then there were still things that happened, like, you know, there were still deaths and things, but it was just something about his character that made me realize, okay, the character of God is love. It is not I'm against you. It's I'm for you. And there's an enemy out there that's against you. And it's not him. It's Satan. And that just helped me put things into perspective. It took me a while, and I still have to remember that. Not too long after that I believe that he knew what's coming. Of course, he knew. And I know that it's a great controversy going on. And he's like, I got to save this one because I know what's coming on her path. And she's got to have a better foundation, or I'm going to lose her, because he would have lost me with this other stuff that came. So it's just the character of God, that his character is just what helped me to say, okay, he loves me. He doesn't want me to feel this way. So I have to, I have to play a part in it. You know, I can't just tell him, snap your fingers and remove it. I have to play a part in healing. And part of that is faith in him and then doing the things I need to do, which I got into counseling. I went to a Christian counselor. And the first one, we didn't mesh really well, but I still wasn't really believing where I was. The second one, we meshed really well and we did some really deep work. And that just helped me on my journey to keep moving on and not let go of God. That was the main thing.
It sounds like you did some very meaningful and very deep work, particularly with that second counselor, but also you did some deep inner work yourself.
Yes, yes. I kept studying. And I mean, I found myself being more joyful, even though some of my circumstances didn't change. I just felt like I'm okay. You know, the first time I realized it had been so many months since I had the curtains drawn, the lights out, the covers over my head and not answering the phone. I never, ever saw myself not doing that. Mm-hmm. And the first time I realized it had been a while since I had done that. And since then, I haven't done it. One time I got into it and then he had a friend call me and it snapped me right out of it. But that brought joy to me more than anything I could have ever thought of. I wasn't thinking of, oh, I'm still wanting this or that. When that thought came into my head, I had the biggest smile on my face because I felt so free and out of bondage that I thought, you know what, I can keep going as long as I don't go back to that, because for me, that was crippling. Mm-hmm. I wasn't calling in sick like I used to. You know, when I thought of how I hadn't done that in a while, it was worth everything to me.
You know, and the other thing that I think it's important for our audience to know is that you may not necessarily mesh with the first counselor that you connect with.
Yeah.
And it certainly is okay to empower yourself to tell that counselor, look, I think you do some great work, but what you're doing doesn't resonate with where I need to be. And then to empower yourself to find somebody who's going to mesh with what you need at that particular time.
Definitely. Definitely. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it was actually the third one. So the first and the second, the second one I meshed more than the first, but that third one, we did some deep work and I was just freer. I just felt more comfortable saying more things. And yeah, definitely, I would say you got to don't give up if the first or even the second one doesn't work, because we're all people, you know, and where not everybody's gonna be a good fit for you, but that doesn't mean you can't get the work done. You know, you'll find somebody.
And also it's important that as prospective clients looking for a counselor that we just don't turn over our power to that counselor because we think that they know more than us. We right. have to determine if this counselor is a good fit and just have the courage to walk away and just say, this isn't working. I need to find a better fit for me.
Yes.
And a lot of times the individuals I used to work with who had depression felt disempowered because of their depression, because they felt that they had no control over affecting positive change in their environment. Well, a little empowerment, a little confidence building, and indicating that, look, you can trust your own instincts and trust that what you're seeing is real. And if something isn't working, walk away from it. Walk away from something that doesn't serve you. Those type of messages, I think, can also help individuals have the courage to change the lens that they were previously looking through life at.
Yes, yes. And definitely because in the beginning with the first counselor, I didn't have enough empowerment in me. I did not have that. And so I walked away and it was a long time before I went to a second one because I was still in that mindset. I am unfixable. I mean, that's how I felt. And like, well, okay, I tried this and it didn't work, so I must be right. But the more I got into my Bible and the more I was reading and the character of God and all of that, then I was like, okay, I became more empowered and said, okay, that didn't work. I'm gonna try another one. That didn't work. And the third one stuck. And yeah. Yeah. You got to stick with it.
Yeah, especially our faith has to be greater than our fear. And anytime we're trying something new.
Yes.
I love the name of your website, Deer's Feet.
Man.
What is the significance of Deer's Feet? How did you come up with the name? And what type of services do you provide to individuals requesting them?
So I came up with deer's feet because when I read about how the deer and their feet go up these mountains, this terrain, like they can be like literally like, what is that, perpendicular 90-degree angle and still go up like it's nothing because of the what's going on with the hooves and how it grips that mountain. I'm like, that's what we all need. We need deer's feet to keep going up those mountains, you know. And the Bible talks a lot about deer and how they go for water and everything. And I saw on YouTube a deer going up a mountain and it was incredible. And I said, yeah, that's what I want, deer's feet. And I want everybody to know you can have deer's feet and just keep going up that mountain and gripping the mountain and conquering those mountains and getting to the top of them. And so what I like to do is I want to empower women because I know I'm not the only one out there who has gone through depression, especially nowadays, and still trying to go on. Like I said, you know, I'm single and I had to work. I had to take care of myself, you know. So you still have to work and you still have to get through. I want women to know that you don't have to just fake it to try to make it, that you can actually overcome. And you can get on the other side and you can thrive instead of just surviving all of the time and feeling like you're trying to survive. You can be a survivor. So my website actually right now is a compilation of blogs, vlogs, and podcasts to empower women a lot about my story. And then I have interviewed others about their stories to help them get some empowerment and let them know that they're not alone. And because sometimes we think we are, and sometimes we think, okay, well, they've been through this, but they've never been through what I've been through. And I think you'll find something in there that resonates with what you've been through and that you can overcome it. So, right now, that's what it is to encourage women through storytelling. And then now, you know, I've been thrust into a caregiving role. So my programs right now, they were on hold for a minute, and I'm just getting back into that because I had to put all of my energy into my first ministry, which is my mom now. So.
And you and your mom will, and your family will be in my thoughts as you're going through that challenge.
Thank you.
Because I know, being a caregiver, I've heard that being a caregiver to somebody with dementia is not easy.
Not, it's not, it is, and it's a learning experience because there's that thankfully the Lord has been showing me a lot of resources that I never knew existed, and I think everyone should avail themselves to them because it's such an epidemic right now, and but yeah, it is not anything like I thought it would be, and yeah, it has changed our lives, so but we're making it through, so.
Yep, and I know you recognize the importance of self-care, and I'm sure that's something that you discuss with your female clients, is the
Yeah.
importance of self-care.
Yeah.
Interestingly, deer resonated with me because in Native American cultures, deer is about gentleness to self and others. It is
Ooh.
also about the gentle call to adventure. So when I think of individuals who've transcended challenges with life-altering events or with depression, it's be gentle with yourself, show grace to yourself.
Yes.
And that's what deer can teach us.
Yes. Yes, we have to. And we can't, because we can be, I know I can be. So I think anybody coming through depression can be very hard on you ourselves and unforgiving. And that's what I learned in the Bible. It's about forgiveness. And,
Yep.
you know, like we can be harder on ourselves than God could ever be. You know, if you're not, if you stay hard on yourself, you're going to continue to look through that foggy, dark lens. And that's going to be your foundation, and you're going to make all your decisions based on something that's not true, which is a lens that is not telling you the truth. And so you have to forgive yourself. You have to just keep moving forward and take care of yourself. A part of of healing is taking care of your mental health, your body, your everything, sunlight, air, fresh air. It's so many things that I'm still learning that I have to just give my body all of the conditions for staying in a healing situation.
You know, for a previous podcast, I think this was listening to you and Steve Ramona's podcast, you really emphasized the importance of mentorship. Why do you believe having a mentor is so important in life, and particularly for individuals who have experienced challenges with depression or other life-altering changes?
I think it's because it keeps you both grounded, you and the other person, or you and if it's more than one person, because you're not spending so much time. Another thing about depression is you can spend so much time dwelling on yourself, mm-hmm. right? When you dwell on others and you're putting yourself out for others to help them, what I've learned is what the Lord has showed me is he brings back things to my memory that happened before to me that he allowed me not to remember. So I didn't dwell on them anymore. But then that is exactly what helps somebody else with what they're going through. So it helps you as well as the other person because you're both sharing your stories and then you're digging deep into what your story was and you're using how you came out to help them. And then that person can use that to help themselves and to help somebody else. So I think if we just keep going from one person to the other, then we have this chain and then we can all, you know, walk in healing and just keep helping each other because there are times when we might have a depressive episode. One of my captions on my social media is a depressive episode doesn't mean you're unhealed or it doesn't mean that you've fallen away. It's like, keep moving, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah.
You know, and sometimes there's hidden gifts in depressive episodes. I mean, Charmaine, I've run into individuals who had experienced challenges with depression, and those challenges that they experienced transformed them into some of the most compassionate people you'd ever see.
Yes, that's the other thing. You have more empathy, sympathy. You have more of everything for another person, things you might not have. Because sometimes I think that the spotlight is on it more, but sometimes people look, because some depression can look so different. So if a person is being kind of what they call annoying or hyperactive, that they could be depressed. But those people are usually like people don't want to be around them. And me, I know that has been one of my symptoms. And so those people I'm drawn to now to just kind of sit with and talk to or keep in touch with and just say, mm-hmm. how you doing, you know? Just little things, and then that can connect to something else. And so, yes, you have much more compassion because you see through that different lens now, you know?
Yeah, and we can become more attuned to other people's challenges and more sympathetic and empathetic because we've experienced those ourselves.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And we realize that we transcended those with the help of others and not necessarily by ourselves.
Right. Right. And so we pay it forward, right? We're going to go and pay it forward and say, hey, I've been there. Let me, you know, I know how you're feeling, you know, because that's one of the main things that was my issue. And I think a lot of people's issue is you don't think anybody knows how you feel. You don't think anybody understands. It's like, no, I believe, man. I mean, for some reason, people are surprised when I tell them a story or two and they're like, what? You like? Yes. So, and then we can talk. Then they are like, oh, okay, let's talk. You know, you look at other people and say, oh, they could never understand because they have this great life. You never know what people have been going through or what they have gone through.
Unless you sit down and have a conversation.
Conversation. Yes. Yes. It's not, you can't go by looks, you know?
Sometimes life is illusion, posing as truth.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I cannot take credit for that quote. That quote came from my favorite book on the afterlife, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers by Annie Kagan.
Yeah.
On your website, I found this biblical passage which resonated with me. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Talk about that in the context of transcending challenges with depression and other life situations.
So when I read that, that was during that first few months of me saying I'm going to read through the Bible. I ended up reading through the Bible too, from Genesis to Revelation. And that one's in the New Testament. When I got to that verse, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I thought, that's what is happening to me. I am learning the truth about who I am, about my worth, about who God is. And that is what has set me free. It set me free from all of the calling in sick, those major things that affected my activities of daily living. I was not eating. I was losing weight. My friends at work, when they did see me, were very concerned just because I was losing so much weight. I was exercising a lot, but not eating a lot. And I came across that and I thought, that's it right there. That changes your lens. When you know the truth about yourself and the truth about who you are and who you were created to be, you're set free from the bondage of all of the lies that you have walked on your foundation. You built your foundation on. Every decision I made was based on that. And I was being set free because of the truth that I was finding in the Bible. And I finally saw myself in the Bible. I never used to. I just thought it was a compilation of stories about other people. But I then saw myself and about a God who also loved me. And that is what freed me. And that's why I, to this day, I love that verse. And I think once they know the truth, they can be set free. They will be set free, because I think a lot of people who are depressed or who are dealing with things like that are believing things that aren't true of who they are and their worth. So, yeah.
And that's a very powerful passage from the Bible, because the truth will set us free. And once we embrace that truth, then look at ourselves and say, this is who we are, both the yin and the yang. Then we can move forward in an authentic fashion.
Yes.
Charmaine, if you're going to leave our listeners with one thing today, what would that be?
That would be, I tried to put it into one, but it's kind of like two. Like, never give up. And you are not alone. Never give up, because you are not alone. A lot of times we feel like we're alone and there's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go, but you're not alone. So don't give up. It may look really, really dark, but there's light to be had. I just want people to know that and to embrace that and have a conversation with me. Come on social media with me at @dears_feet. And let's talk about this and know that you're not alone. So don't give up. It may be dark now, but there's light. Light comes in the morning.
Those are two great takeaways. And I always, and I didn't preface this time, although I should have, you know, I usually ask my guest contributors, if there's one thing you can leave our audience with today, what would that be? And subcategories are good too. So you came up with a couple of different things, which are both relevant, particularly to any type of challenges that we face in life.
Yes.
Don't give up. You're not alone.
Yes. Yes.
But I know in the beginning we mentioned your website as a point of contact, and also at @dears_feet is another way to contact you.
So I have my email is Charmaine, SHARM is in Mary, AYN is in Nancy, @dearsfeet.com.
I will make sure all of that gets in the episode notes when our episode goes live on Apple, Spotify, and other podcast platforms that I subscribe to, and also on YouTube. I'll make sure all of that gets in the notes on all platforms.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Charmaine, thank you for being such a great guest contributor today. I enjoyed our conversation, and maybe we could do something again in the future.
Yes, yes. Thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, because so much has been going on. I almost like few weeks ago, I almost said, oh, I can't do it. It's just so much. But my sister's here. And I said, okay, she's here. I can take some time away. So I'm really glad I didn't cancel. So thank you. Thank you so much for giving me this platform.
You're welcome. And I wish you well in your journey with your mom and her dementia. And I will use the same words that you probably have used. Show yourself some love and show yourself some grace and make sure you take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And with that, that's a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.